You are listening to episode 31 of the Paper Player Podcast. I'm your host, Tony, and I'm joined here with Vintage Cube Master Jonathan Brosoff, better known as Team J-Bro. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Right. You guys have a sweet cube event coming up. What is that?
Yes.
What's the, go ahead and just rattle off the details for that. I want to hear all about it.
Sure. Well, this is our third annual Cube for Charity event, and this is a growing rivalry between Jim Davis and I. He's, basically my mortal cube enemy, and we've been going at it head-to-head for years now, but this is kind of the hat trick of the bunch. So basically, what started off just a 1v1 has turned into just a huge team rivalry effort where we are able to broadcast it via Twitch and produce the best 48 hours of cube content known to man, and that is basically 4v4 cube trophy race for 48 hours where we're just going at it head-to-head in the holiday vintage cube, and I'm very excited for it. We got stacked teams on both ends, and, we beat them the first time, beat them the second time, so looking forward to another victory, and we got two amazing charities we're raising money for, EarthDay.org, which actually Earth Day started in Wisconsin with Governor Gaylord Nelson many years ago, so it's kind of a cool little Wisconsin tie-in for us. And then for our charity, we got Docs Without Borders, who, are doing amazing work, especially with COVID, but in general, they go all over the world and do incredible stuff, and we want to help them out. Last year, we were able to raise about $20,000. This year, we're hoping to take it up a notch and do even more. So we also got sponsors for the charities who are each going to donate some and then even more if their team loses, which is Team Card Hoarder is Jim's side of things, then I got Team Mana Traders.
Oh, perfect, man. That sounds, this sounds like a blast. I'm going to, believe me, during the holidays, I got nothing to do other than just watch a little baby. So I'm going to be watching your guys' stream to see who's going. So with the trophies, how are they calculated? Do you have to win them on stream?
Yes, they got to be on stream. No, so that adds a lot. like most cubers, I think that I talk to, it's like when you're streaming, it definitely, you're not playing as optimally sometimes as you do when you're off stream. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you're gonna get some tired cubers by the end of this, but it's gonna be, it's all about pacing, it's all about racing, and it's all about providing good content. So we're looking forward to it.
How do you stay focused? Is it just because of your music choice? I think you all about the 90s rap?
I like 90s rap quite a bit. I've been in a Wu-Tang Clan kick recently, but my focus is really that I love cube drafting, and it's my favorite type. Magic's my favorite game in the world. Cube's my favorite magic in the world. And being able to do both and do it for a good cause and, put your all into it and compete at something. And, as someone who's been the most consistent trophy leader on Modo, like, I just love the hell out of it, and it's awesome. And, quite frankly, it's just a great community, and that gives you a lot of strength too, and you have a lot of friends from all over now and people who you're chatting with and checking in with you and stuff like that, and it really helps. So it's a whole, that's how I got the name Team J-Bro. It's the idea of all of us in this together, a team. We're all lifting each other up, and I might be the streamer, but we're all the teamer. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm with you on that for sure. I mean, I remember the first time I was introduced to like Cube, I think it was like 2010, 2011. There's a local guy here that has a Cube. And I remember one of our friends here in the Milwaukee area invited me to it and really opened my eyes. Cause this was before a time where it was on Magic Online. This was just a local thing, or kind of how people built it together. And when I first played it, I was so hooked. I was like, can we run this back again? And everybody had to unfortunately leave. But ever since then, I was like, hey, do not skip an invite. I will always make time for this.
Hell yeah. And also, like, yeah, I mean, I remember I too was introduced to Cube through Tom's Cube. Shout out to Tom Carroll, DJ Too Sarcastic. And, just you're hooked right away, right?
Well, it's so different from what draft is. Like, I got into Magic in like 2009, and then within like a year, I was trying to do competitive stuff. And then when I was introduced to this Cube, I got to meet a lot of the older limited, like hardcore limited players. And I really got an awakening of like how far my limited skill was, not only just of general draft, but just in card evaluation from a Cube standpoint. Because I remember the first card I took was Umezawa's Jitte, and I thought I was going to win so hard. And boy, did other cards like Time Walk smash me.
Yeah, in fact, Time Walk was, I believe, my first pick in my first cube, and I never looked back. The first deck I got was basically an Infinite Turns deck, Teamer Infinite Turns. So I I'll never forget that, you know, being able to bounce my Eternal Witness and, you know, with a Bone Shard, or what's it called? Crystal Shard, and yeah, just so much fun. So much fun. Love Cube.
Yeah, I love that they have so many different iterations. We'll go over the current iteration a little bit later. How long have you been playing Magic, John?
Well, quite some time. I started off at Down to Earth and Hobby years and years ago, and I actually won the first tournament I ever played in, a sealed tournament, Ice Age Sealed, and I got a Time Twister off that, and I sold it for a bunch of packs to the store, and then I opened all those packs and got some cards I could sell for more packs, and I just built a collection off that, you know, pretty early on for all these revised packs. Yeah, that was
I think Ice Age was 97, maybe earlier than that, maybe 96,
95. Right around there, I'm sure. Yeah, it was, what had just came? It was right around Ice Age, Fallen Empires, Revised time period.
Oh, nice. So you were, yeah. I mean, you were playing around where you could still get Lotuses. Well, you could still see Lotuses at what, like a $200 mark, maybe $100 mark?
Yeah. And we thought that was wild back then. Oh, you know, I remember Duel Lands were so crappy. You're like, wait a second, this dies to like Tsunami and Wildfire, but whatever, you know, like.
One that blows like planes.
Yeah, like, what the hell? Like, you know, I totally didn't get it back then. And I also remember Gen Con. I remember when Gen Con was in Wisconsin, I remember slinging duels, you know, going to one side of the room, picking up a bunch in bulk for like $7 or $8 a pop, depending on the duel, and then selling it to the other side for like 9 or 10. And I remember doing that for hours and hours and, you know, making my money that way so I could, right, you know, go blow it all. Play, you know, buying board games, whatever I did, but
sure,
yeah. So yeah, it's funny. Yeah, best game ever made, and look at the longevity. Not only look at the longevity of it, but how many other games has it spawned?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think a lot of the mana system has been replicated in so many different games.
Mm-hmm.
I think it draws a nice balance with the mana system of what, one, there's the five colors, and yes, there's Mana Screw and Mana Flood, but I think it's a great balance to not only allow the introductory player to have a chance against the top dog of the store, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Having variance is so awesome. So is, you know, just a little bit of variance makes a lot of difference. I mean, I love chess too, but yeah, it's great. It's just the best. And Richard, and not only that, I mean, I just picked up Filthy Rich, one of my other favorite Richard Garfield games, but Richard Garfield made some bangers. Great Dal Moody. Oof. Come on,
you have to try that one.
Jihad, you know, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, so good. What else has he made? Netrunner? Oh.
I tried Netrunner.
Huh?
I tried Netrunner. That was a tough one for me to learn.
Oh, I loved it. Netrunner was amazing when it first came out. You know, you had the hackers and stuff back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, King of Tokyo, dude. Richard Garfield makes some freaking bangers. What a master of his craft.
Yeah, but, it's sad to see him leave it's sad that he's not in the Magicverse anymore, because I'd like to see what he would create in this, you know, what we have now.
Well, I would say that, you know, it's kind of a testament, actually, I think, to his strength. In other words, the best leaders are leaders that make more leaders. Mm-hmm. And what he's been able to do with Magic and have it be in perpetuity without his oversight, I think is just, you know, I think it's just wonderful. And I think it's also a testament to his strength and to, you know, what he's been able to create. But yeah, I agree. I really, you know, I know we're going to talk about it later, but, you know, I'll say one of my favorite sets is one of his, and we'll get into it. I'll leave that for now. We'll get into it in some of our more conversations and we discuss some ideas, but
sure.
I'll leave a little teaser out there for later.
So I want to guess what your favorite Magic card is. And I think I have an idea, just because I remember a long time ago I think, do you still have your cube?
I have like 10 cubes now. And I still have one you played, yes.
I think one of them that you played, you had a custom card in there. There was a Planeswalker in there that did an ability. And I want to guess, it might not be obvious, but I'm just guessing here. Is Stone Raid your favorite card?
Oh, that is I haven't thought about Stone Raid in some time. That's an oldie but a goodie. Hasn't been reprinted in a while. It's definitely up there. I do love me some Stone Rain. Yeah, that's some hardcore nostalgia value. And not only that, I mean, if people remember the deck Ponza, well, that actually came out of Wisconsin. That came from right here, from Milwaukee, from our friends, you know, over at Jimmy's Grotto. We have the Ponzas, and that's what, in Jimmy's Grotto is where that deck was built. You know, and shout out also Adrian Sullivan and some others who helped design it. But yeah, that was and Brian Cowell. But yeah, Ponza, you know, was basically a land destruction deck with wildfires. And yeah, anyway. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Stone Rain is up there. My favorite card might change depending on my mood each day, though.
Really?
But I like Stone Rain quite a bit.
Do you have, like, a pet card that's new? Do you have an EDH build around any of those? Do you play any of those other formats, any constructive formats?
You know, I don't have... the only EDH decks are ones that I've won at Gen Con and other tournaments that are, like, the pre-cons. Like,
yeah.
Actually just gave one of those away for my birthday. I had a little birthday get-together, and Brian Cowell, shout out to him... I actually won the most. I was the biggest winner of the weekend, but I said, I'm going to give it to someone else. But I did go nearly undefeated in the cube. I lost one, I think, one game in the cube. Or one match, rather. Nearly undefeated. But anyway, I do play other formats. With my work stuff and my family stuff and everything else, I've had to narrow my Magic quite a bit. I used to be much more active on the competitive scene, especially when we had more IRL tournaments, but I've had to kind of narrow that down to like Gen Con events and other small things I can go to just because time is... So that's why Cube is so perfect for me. It's flexibility and it's...
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, I like Modern a lot. In fact, there's a new format, new old retro format that is pretty cool called Pre-Modern that I think is super fun and very nostalgic. So Brian Cole's been shipping me that a bunch. We've been talking about it, but it looks fantastic. So yeah, I like all Magic. Cube is my favorite.
Oh yeah. So you've played a lot of Limited, and I mean, Wisconsin, actually the Madison crew is really known for how good they are, their strength in Limited is, because I swear every time there's a GP in this area, it was either top aided or won by someone in the Madison area, just because that's how good they were at Limited. Do you have a favorite non-cube Limited format?
Yes. This was what I was alluding to earlier. It is original Ravnica block, which I believe was designed by Richard Garfield. Ravnica is my favorite non-cube format, if non-cube Limited format.
Yeah, yeah.
By far. I love, love, love Ravnica. OG Ravnica. And I liked Eldrazi a bit as well. I'd say that's up there. But yeah, Ravnica is my jam.
Yeah, my first one, my favorite is Rise of the Eldrazi, and that's because I just got to draft it so much. And then I have done Ravnica on Magic Online a couple times, and I had to read a primer because the first couple go-rounds of that, I just lost and lost. I didn't realize how strong bounce lands were until I read like a primer on that. And then you're like, oh, yeah, take the bounce lands. They're incredibly powerful.
Oh, wow.
It's not something you pick up right away. You're just like, it's just like a dual land. And then you realize, oh, wait, this is so much more than that.
Yes, exactly. It's a great way to... That's such a good example of a way to think about cards differently and to, like, next level yourself when someone realizes the value of those Karu lands.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I just kept losing, and it's because I had one bad mana bases, but then, like you said, the Karu lands just being able to, you know, pick up another land, like, oh, wait, I gained a land, and now I have an additional land drop. It's like, it all, you know, the wheels start turning in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get into the meat and potatoes of it. Ask you a few questions about the current cube, and then if you could describe cube, vintage cube, in three words.
Three words. Best Magic ever.
So those are great three words. I always like to refer to it as the most powered format.
Ooh, that's a good one. Although there is a more powered format.
Is it really?
Supreme Vintage Cube.
Is that like four X copies of everything?
It's just bonkers. And then Manguchi's cube is arguably right in between there too.
Is it?
Or maybe higher. Yeah, Manguchi's cube really pushes the limits. That might be the most. But yeah, Supreme is multiple copies. It's actually not a great format. It's wildly imbalanced and not very fun. It's fun for one day, maybe.
Yes, yes.
And then never again.
That's usually how I feel about a lot of like the gimmick cubes. Like, I have you played like the pauper cubes, uncommon cubes, all those things?
I certainly have.
Yeah, like those are fun a couple times, but they don't get the same essence or the feel of the vintage cube or even sometimes the legacy cube. Me, between the two cubes, I prefer Legacy Cube.
Yes, I agree. Some
people like the Vintage Cube, and I love that every end of the year we get like this little holiday treat of go bonkers, here's Black Lotuses, here's Ancestrals. But I think with Vintage Cube, some of the colors lose their identity, meaning green loses ramp, even though mono green is still good. But red, like the fun police, if you will, doesn't really exist because everybody else is just doing such bigger and badder things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, have you looked at any of the current iterations or the all the new cards that have added to the cube?
I briefly went over it on my stream on Twitch the other night, but I haven't really done it in depth, looked at the cube, but I did get a chance to check a bit of it out, yeah.
Is there any of the cards that they've added or subtracted that you've liked?
Yeah, they took away old something, the...
Oh, sticky fingers? Yeah.
Yeah, sticky fingers. They took away sticky fingers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let me say it like this. I am all about trying new stuff out. And I think it's important to keep pushing. You know, if you have a cube, you want to keep trying new things, keep pushing it. You know, it's. I think that's a totally fine approach to take to it. And I like experimenting and, you know, I really like that. I think that's great. On the other hand, I think that, you know, there are plenty of examples where it's just not, you know, like kind of what the hell were they thinking? And old sticky fingers is kind of one of those. It's just like, I get the premise theoretically, but I don't know. That one is a hard miss for me. I don't know. So, but I'm very happy with what they replaced with this old Rushton or Rutscene or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to try that out. It's a unique card that occupies a very strange place. And not only does it have an ETB effect, but it has a recurring value effect. And I think it's quietly going to be one of the best new additions and possibly one of the most innovative additions of all time. Yeah. And it's going to be an incredibly powerful card. Not quite like Geist or Grist or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Like not at that level exactly, but not that far away.
Yeah.
In other words, it's a so close to like a Layla. It's a card that generates value for free every turn and has an ETB effect. Not only that, it also puts stuff in your graveyard, which is relevant for Reanimator, for Delve. Well, you know, so it's, yeah, it does a lot and only asks a little of 3 mana. And it's also got 4 toughness.
Yep.
So, yeah, So I'm very excited to see that. I think they went from a hard miss to a good hit.
The only card I didn't like that they took out, and this is just my personal preference, is just Thassa's Oracle. I like the idea of being able to like brain freeze myself and then just slam that as the win condition. I'm surprised they took that one out.
Yes, I agree. And it's also just kind of like a weird, it's just such a unique card. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to see that stay.
Yeah, is Lab Man in there? I'm not sure if it is.
I do not believe it is, but I'm not sure.
I think they might have kept Jace. Maybe they only wanted like one style of that effect, because Jace Wielder Mysteries might still be in the cube. I'm not positive. Bonus or the fun parts of Vintage Cube is being able to weird and obscure ways, and Thassa's Oracle is one of them. And maybe they just didn't like Brain Freeze in general. But I don't get me wrong. It's I like when I get to do it, and I like when my opponents get to do it too.
Agreed. Yeah.
So of the cards from all of 2021, there's a plethora of them that they included in. We can see with Crimson Vow and Midnight Hunt, they're shoving the most amount of cards in from that set. And they added the land cycle, which I think is going to be okay. They're not great. It's the new lands that say, like, if you've already have 2 lands in play, this one comes in untapped. So there's a cycle of 10 of them. And then we've had some of the more stronger cards come out from, like, Modern Horizons 2, which... Have you got to play Ragavan in any iteration of the cube yet?
Yeah, I'm playing it. I played in the Artifact cube that's out now.
Is it just as bonkers as it is in all the constructed formats?
It might be more so, since it's a bit of a slower format. Sure. But yes, it's completely bonkers.
Just being able to just... I mean, when you get to turn one it and then get to play your opponent's deck, it's like the stronger the format it is, the better that card gets, because you get to play your opponent's Moxes or what have you. Other ones that they've added that I think are fun and like inspiring, which is Bergy. Have you had the chance to storm with Bergy at all?
I have not.
It's from Keldheim. I think every time you cast a spell, you have to add red to your pool.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think Bergy's a great addition. No, I think Bergy's great. I'm really happy they made that addition. I think it's going to be around for quite some time.
Yeah.
It's flexible. It's not just for Storm, but it's got modality. It's really an interesting design. So, yeah.
And then have you got to try... There's another one that's a big draw spell for, I believe it's like 4 mana, which is Showdown of the Skulls, which is red, white, and 2. It's one of those sagas. Comes into play. Reveal the top 4 cards of your library. You may play these cards in the next 2 turns, I believe.
Yeah, I have. And I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, that one's a banger.
Yeah, it's just cool for Boros to get some card draw, and yeah, it's a good card. I'm happy with that addition.
I mean, you've played a ton of Vintage Cube, and I'm from the last iteration to this one, there's going to be a few changes here and there. What do you think the top three archetypes are to go into for the Vintage Cube?
Well, Mono White got a little bit weaker, but I still, because they lost Honor of the Pure, for example, but I still think and they lost two of the two mana really good utility creatures, but I still think it's going to be one of the stronger archetypes. I think that, you know, it's hard to know without seeing all the cards, but I think probably red green is going to be better than it looks.
Really?
Yeah, red Gruul quietly is starting to creep up a little bit, which is kind of a weird thing to think about, but I think it's right.
Well, is it just mono green splashing red realistically? Because usually that's what those decks look like. You're like, well, what kind of good red win condition can I add to my awesome mono green deck?
The strength of Gruul is as follows. One is that there's a good amount of artifact disruption that's just natural to both colors and doesn't take a lot of work to get in there.
Yep.
And that's really powerful in a Vintage Cube, especially if there's Signets.
Yeah.
The second thing is that it's got a consistent amount of... It can generate a consistent... It can get a good amount of power per converted mana cost ratio, and it can kind of keep pumping stuff out.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then it's also just got natural acceleration, and specifically going 1-3-5 in those colors is, you know, bonkers because of what you can get at your 5 drops, such as the 5-5 dragon with haste, or the 4-4 dragon that makes treasures, etc. For those reasons, it's a deck that's quietly really good because it's consistent and persistent. And oftentimes in Vintage Cube, people want to be doing the bang bang splashy silly stuff because, of course, you want to storm off for a Brazilian, you know, this and that, and you know you want to get the turn 2 kill and all, you know, for sure. But a deck that can consistently kill on turn 5 with some disruption, such as you know, like artifact destruction, for example, and that can get some mana acceleration, like is quietly very good. And they also got a huge addition with Helana and Alana, although it took out a really good planeswalker to do so. But
so when did they drop that one? Was it Arlen?
Makes,
got it.
Arlen, yeah, that's what it was.
And it's probably, I mean, that card's awesome, and like I usually typically where I like to go for a cubes perspective, a lot of the times I end up in like mono green decks just because Land of Werewolves are, a lot of people just let those things wheel for some reason. I never feared it. Like I always feel like, you know, there's 9 different versions of Land of Werewolves, and it's your way to keep up with the Mox decks. If you, even though it costs a mana to do so, you can go like you said, 1-3-5, which is just huge in that cube.
Absolutely.
You said two archetypes, either the mono white one, is that, do you think the mono white is strong just because you have the disruption package? You get like a kind of a card advantage package with like stone forges or abilities to search with Recruiter of the Guard. And then a lot of the times when I play mono white, it's usually backed by Armageddon. Is that usually why mono white is probably the best of the monocolor decks?
Well, mono white got even more disruption with cards like Elite Spellbinder, for example. Yeah. But there's also stuff that just ticks off the mana, such as, you know, Thalia. And it's, yeah, I mean, mono white is again, just persistent, consistent, can generate a lot of value.
Yep.
And so that's how I see it.
And then you said red-green was number 2, or one of the top 3 archetypes in the most.
I think red-green quietly might be up there this year. I'm gonna make a hot take on that and call that as a prediction. And we'll see. I mean, you'll be seeing me doing it live, so we'll see how that plays out. Let's see what else. I mean, my favorite deck in the deck I do really well with, and I think is also underrated, is Dimir. No Fear Dimir. So I'll call that as well. I'll say those are my 3 archetypes, and those are what I'll probably do the best with over the Cube for Charity.
Yeah, I mean, it's always like the classic. It wasn't a classic, but now it is. It's just play a Planeswalker, protect it in any way, shape, or form, and just take over the game. You know, with whether it be Wraths or counter spells, you name it. And then all the Planeswalkers they've printed are just so powerful nowadays. They just all do so much. And even some of the creatures too, you get some of the fun ones like Fallen Shinobi. I love playing that card. Scarab God, that card is just a house.
Absolutely.
With those 3 best archetypes, what do you think the 3 biggest traps are in Cube, like cards that lead you into archetypes that are no bueno?
Three biggest traps. Ooh, that's a good question.
It'd be cards like Umezawa's Jitte, because I fall for it every time.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still put Jitte up there as one of the best out there, but let's see. Three trap cards. Probably Tendrils.
Tendrils of Corruption?
Tendrils of Agony, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah, and the 6-mana one that lets you play stuff on the top of your library for life.
Oh, Bolas's Citadel?
Yeah, Bolas's Citadel, maybe, and let's see. Maybe... Let's see, something not blue.
Oh, blue's always so good to go into. It can usually support, what, like 4 to 5 players?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, anything not blue, probably. Let's see. What's a good trap? Oh, maybe Natural Order? But I like Natural Order quite a bit.
Yeah, I do too. Now, it looks like they put Progenitus back in, so you have, like, if you can't get the Crater Hoof, you can at least get the Progenitus, because usually that thing wheels. Do you ever try to go for, like, a Reanimator strategy?
I don't do Reanimator very much, but that's probably more likely one of the best this cycle around. Reanimator is always super solid, and yeah, that's a good call. That's probably it.
All right. So let's pretend that I'm brand new into cubing. What would you suggest I look forward to or try to draft into? Like, what archetype is the best for someone who's unfamiliar with the power level of the Vintage Cube?
I get asked that question a lot, and my answer is pretty consistent, which is it really depends on the player, and it depends on what you're into. Mm-hmm. And some people are really into certain things, and some people are really into other things. And, you know, are you more comfortable drafting aggro or playing control decks? Are you more comfortable doing combo? And what do you enjoy? And once that's answered, it's a lot easier to get to the rest of the question. But I think we have to determine what type of player you are before we think about that, because it's just, you know, that's the beauty of it, the versatility.
Right.
And there's so many different right answers to it.
I mean, one of the best parts about Cube is watching somebody beat you in an obscure way,
absorbing
that knowledge, and then trying to repeat that exact same scenario.
That's right.
I mean, it's happened so many times do they still have I don't know if they still have the 6-mana storm card. I forget what the name of it is, but you just reveal the top card of your library, get to play, and then just storm Mind's Desire. I don't know if that's still in there, but I mean, the amount of times that I've seen that play out against me, it's like, my goodness.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, being able to win in obscure ways is the best thing about Cube. It's my favorite thing. I love memeing. I love all that, yeah. So, absolutely.
So, I've seen your stream multiple times, and you always have you have a lot of nicknames for a lot of cards. Is there any reason you nickname all your cards?
It's just my spectacular vernacular. That's just how I talk and how I've always talked. I don't know, you know, where it comes from or why that's the case, but that's just me. I'm just JB.
I like it. Yeah. Do you have a favorite nickname amongst all the cards?
Definitely. Mangle Dangle. It just rolls off the tongue. It's fun to say. It's one of my favorite cards, as people know, the Mangle Dangle. So
yeah,
Mangle Dangle.
Do you go out of your way to pick Manglehorn?
Yes, because it's good. In fact, it's one of the strongest. Is it in this version?
It has to be. I would be flabbergasted they'd taken it out, especially because it's so artifact based. One, it destroys artifacts, which is great for this cube, and also makes them come into play tap, so you don't get that immediate advantage. The card's just way too good to take out. I would be surprised they took it out.
I think it was out for a long time. It's probably back in though, but that's my fave.
They took it out. That's crazy. I guess it's not in. I don't see it. Oh no. That's weird. Especially with this style of cube. Maybe they just want people to have maximized fun, but there's so many treasures running around too now. With every card, they just tack on a treasure to it. You think that card would just be a mainstay.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
In the cube, in the Vintage Cube, what is the best pick one, pack one?
It's gotta be Ancestral, right?
Yeah.
Soul Ring?
I'm in the Soul Ring camp.
I'll say, yeah, it's tough. I mean, the nice thing about Ancestral is it puts you in blue.
Yes, it does.
But Soul Ring's really good. It's one of those two.
Yeah, people get confused with Black Lotus. I don't think it's in there. It's Soul Ring or Ancestral for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Black Lotus is very good if you want to be doing, you know, like Storm stuff like that. But I like me some Soul Ring. I like me some Ancestral.
So I think you said it a little bit earlier, Jim Davis. I was going to ask you this question of who's your trophy rival every season. Is it Jim Davis?
100%. Jim is my mortal enemy when it comes to cubing. You can tell him I said that.
I'll make sure to DM him after this. Just
let him know. Right. Put him on notice.
So, on average, like per season, how many trophies do you get on it? I know you're always way up there.
I have no idea.
It's like
I know the one time I believe I capped 100 when they let it go for a little bit longer. That was when what's his face was trying to catch up to me, Mr. Salmonella, and he was like right within he kept taunting me, he kept messaging me, and he was like right within a couple trophies, but I had to take some time off, and then I got back to it, and I just took off, and he's like, and then you got like 20 more than me, and then I couldn't look back, and then I got to 100.
Wow. So,
yeah, that was fun. I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's all depends. It's up and down. I have no idea. I'll just say this, though. Above all else, it's about the love of the game. I love cubing. I love Magic. And it helps me a lot to be able to have this outlet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of the best ways to get the competitive nature that most people have that play this game.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to circle back to the Cube Charity, and you picked who are your four individuals again versus the other four individuals. I don't know if we went over that yet.
Sure. So it's Caleb Durward, myself, and Mythic Meebo, a.k.a. Sky, a.k.a. Previously known as Ali Warfield. And we also have Gob Nassif, Good Grief, coming all the way from France. So that's our team.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then their team has got Cedric. They've got, of course, Jim Davis.
Yep.
So you got Cedric, Jim, Arya, and Reed Duke was his final
that's reveal.
His final reveal, exactly. Yep.
So you guys have a team name. What I think it was the Mandalorians.
We're the Cube DeLoreans unofficially, but we're officially known as we're Team Mana Traders, and their Team Card Hoarders. We're Team Mana Traders.
So I know this is, I like when people talk smack. How many trophies do you think you're going to be up by the end of this?
Four more than Jim.
Four more?
Yeah, whatever Jim gets, I will beat him. That's my goal. Knuck if you buck.
And this takes place, what, on the 27th and the 28th?
27th and 28th of December. We're going to be starting at midnight 01 on the 27th and going till midnight 01 on 29th, or whatever it is. Yeah.
So I know it's probably difficult to just go, you're not going to go 48 hours straight, but there's got to be some strategic planning here, right?
Yeah, a lot of that will depend on some other factors of my home life, but we'll see. We will see. I don't have that plotted out yet. That's a whole other conversation. I have to figure out some other stuff first.
All right, John, do you want to plug anything? You want to just throw anything out there?
Well, I hope everyone gets to check out our Cube for Charity, and I hope we can donate some stuff. We have some amazing people who are going to be donating their services and their stuff to prizes for random donors. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone participating and everyone in the community holding us up for it. It's very much appreciated and stuff like that. And yeah, I'm excited. And thanks for having me on the show. I like what you're doing, and hopefully, you keep doing it, and hopefully we'll provide some good content for you to cover. The best 48 hours in Cube content in the world is about to take place. Okay. So looking forward to that.
Thanks, John. Thank you for being on the show, and collect all your information at the end so I can put it all in our description so people can see where to find us. And just give me everything you got. I'm going to throw it all in the description at the end. Okay.
Awesome.
That's the show. Thanks, John, for joining us. And hopefully we get to do this on a yearly basis.
Absolutely.
All right.